Chapter 42. Taking a Risk. During the month of April, the daily Bible readings led Peter through the book of Proverbs. The practical and life-changing verses fit well with the classes Craig was giving him on the commandments of Christ. Now that they were having these twice a week, Peter was becoming more impressed by the fact that worshipping God isn't only done on a Sunday morning, but reaches into every aspect of a believer's life. True worship is about manifesting God's glory and honor and holiness in every word, thought, and action, rather than seeking to please oneself. In the book of Proverbs, Peter also noticed the contrast that was made between two women. One was called Wisdom, leading those who listened to her unto everlasting life, and one was a harlot, seducing and deceiving the foolish into grasping for momentary pleasures and reaping everlasting death. The analogy was similar to the two women in Revelation, the true bride of Christ and the harlot of the Antichrist system. And Peter couldn't help but think of the different girls he'd spent time with and how they'd influenced him in one direction or the other. April the 21st was Beth's birthday. Since it was a Saturday, Peter and Alan had made plans to fix breakfast for her. At 6:45, Peter knocked on Alan's door to wake him up. Alan was going to fry the bacon, and Peter planned to make crepes. It took some effort to wake Alan up so early on a Saturday, but eventually the two of them headed upstairs. Peter quietly made his way round the kitchen, gathering a large bowl, the measuring utensils, flour and eggs. Alan took out two frying pans, one for the bacon and one for the crepes, and set them on the burners. Then they tied on Beth's aprons and had a laugh about how silly they looked. When the bacon was sizzling and Peter was measuring out the flour, Alan set the table carefully. He placed the birthday present that he, Peter and Craig had chosen in the centre of the table and propped up the cards that had come in the mail in front. Then he tried to fold some colourful napkins, as Jessica would have done. Craig came into the kitchen to put the coffee pot on. He said good morning to both of them and looked very pleased that Peter and Alan were going to so much trouble. Suddenly Alan asked, "Did anyone get the mail yesterday?"
"Not I," Craig replied.
Cracking the eggs into the bowl, Peter was trying to keep track of how many he'd used.
"I don't know," he shrugged.
"Are you expecting something?"
"Well, there might be more birthday cards," Alan explained. "There should be one from my brother at least."
Grabbing his coat, Alan went outside to check. He was back in a minute with a bundle of mail and an exuberant expression on his face.
"There's at least two here for Mum," he said.
Setting everything down on the counter, Alan sorted through the flyers, bills, and the local paper. Peter was reading the recipe to see what spices he needed to add.
"One teaspoon of nutmeg and, hey, this one's for you, Pete,"
Alan declared, looking at a flowered envelope carefully.
"Ah, it's the competition."
Immediately, Alan clapped his hand over his mouth. The letter fell onto the counter. Craig looked over in astonishment.
"Competition?"
Peter repeated curiously as he picked up the envelope. He recognised the handwriting straight away. It was from Rose Arianto. Peter had never seen Alan blush before. His embarrassment was evident. Alan's eyes darted quickly back and forth between his father's reproachful gaze and Peter's hopeful look. There were fairly significant implications to what Alan had just said. While Peter was overjoyed to consider such implications, it suddenly occurred to him that perhaps everyone in the Simons household still thought he was interested in Rose. And why shouldn't they? He had never told them otherwise. Since the relationship had taken place in Granville and ended before he returned, it had seemed like a separate incident from another world, unnecessary to mention. But Jessica had seen him with Rose draped over his arm, and Alan had inquired about the picture, and that picture was still on his wall.
"I think we're out of juice," Alan mumbled hastily. "I'd better go to the store."
He dashed out of the kitchen, still wearing his pajama pants, grabbed his winter coat off the hook on the wall, and made a very quick exit. Peter was left standing with Craig. Opening the fridge door, Craig looked inside.
"What's that boy talking about?" he laughed. "There's plenty of juice in here. I better go after him."
Reaching out with one arm, Peter stopped Craig. "Look," he said apologetically, "just so you know, I'm not going out with Rose any longer. We parted company before I left Granville." There was a serious expression on Craig's face, and yet appreciation in his eyes.
"Is that so?" he clarified.
"She wasn't the kind of girl I was looking for," Peter tried to explain. "Or at least she isn't any more. She wasn't the slightest bit interested in the Bible. It wouldn't have worked." Looking over at the letter on the counter, Craig smiled warmly.
Maybe she's changed her mind, he said. Peter looked at Craig earnestly. Alan's slip of the tongue gave him the courage to say what he might not have otherwise. Even if Rose has changed her mind, he promised, that wouldn't change my feelings for your daughter. I really care about Jess. Craig didn't reply immediately. He looked at Peter steadfastly, but this time Peter couldn't read his eyes. Concern, happiness, anxiety, and compassion seemed to be all mixed up together. At last Craig said, Well then, maybe you ought to let Jess know. Before Peter could respond, Alan opened the front door a crack. Hey, Dad, he called out. Do you have any money? Craig chuckled. Come back in, son, he called out. We don't need juice. The bacon needed to be turned, and the crepe pan was starting to smoke. Peter, Craig, and Alan all went back to their breakfast preparations. It wasn't until the lovely breakfast party was over and the celebrations complete that Peter had the opportunity to open his letter. When he unfolded the letter in his room, a photo of Rose fell out, but the glamorous face didn't have the same effect on him that it once had. Rose couldn't compete with the pretty white Daisy he had come to love. Since the brief conversation in the kitchen that morning, Peter's heart was filled with a strong new optimism. There was nothing in the letter to indicate that Rose had changed her mind. There was no mention of his 15-page letter, or even any regrets about their broken relationship. Instead, there was a glowing report of her new job, a few funny incidents from her life, and a brief note at the end to say that she was going out with her boss. Peter laughed, remembering back to the anxieties Rose had had about the promotion. Obviously, things had worked out well from her perspective. While Peter was so sad that his friendship with Rose hadn't shone any light into her life, he was also thankful that God had kept him from making a big mistake. Picking up the photo that had fallen on the floor, Peter stashed it away with the letter inside his desk. Then he looked up at the picture that was still on his wall. Why he hadn't taken it down long ago, Peter wasn't sure. It had just become part of the decor. Into the drawer it went, with only one regret. Peter wished he had a picture of Jessica to put in its place. Craig had suggested that they do the Bible readings early. He and Beth were heading out after lunch to meet with a couple that had come to the debate and now had many questions. Peter gladly joined the others in the living room. They read through a chapter in Deuteronomy and then came to the last chapter in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. The poetic language about the virtuous woman made him think of Jessica. While it described a remarkable wife who couldn't be faulted in any degree, Peter knew that both Jessica and Verity came closer to the standard than any other young ladies he'd ever known. He perused the passage again for himself, as Craig asked Alan to explain verses 4-7. Who can find a virtuous wife? Peter read silently. For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Peter knew he had finally found someone he loved, someone he wanted to marry, and he decided he wasn't going to stand idly by while Walter or anyone else tried to win her heart. Maybe it was risky, revealing his feelings when there were several obstacles in the way, but Craig had encouraged him to give it a try, and Peter was determined to do just that. After Craig and Beth left in their car, Peter went back down to his room. Since it was his turn to respond to Jessica anyhow, he began with a brief account of her mother's birthday and then how his work was going and the new clients he hoped to have. He told her about the most interesting things he'd been learning with her dad in their evening classes and that he hoped to be baptized at the end of May. The personal stuff he tucked away in one small paragraph at the very end. I was going to wait until you came home to tell you this, Jess, but I can't wait any longer, especially not since I've heard you're thinking of staying in Jamaica for another year. Maybe you've guessed, maybe you haven't, but I'm in love with you. I'd like you to be more than my little sister. It was awfully hard saying goodbye at the airport. I realized then how much I'd come to care about you and how much I wanted you to stay. Please come back. After thinking carefully for a few minutes, Peter decided to add, Jess, I know that you've become very close to Walter and that I'm a lot older than you are. I know that you have a different focus right now. I'll understand if you don't feel the same way. But please, let me know how you feel, even if honesty has to hurt. Just in case you're wondering, my relationship with Rose ended before I left Granville. We weren't right for each other. We weren't heading in the same direction. 3 weeks went by without a reply from Jessica. Peter was used to waiting 2 weeks, but not three. Day by day, his anxiety increased. Why would she take so long to respond? Unless she was worried her response would hurt.